just before we go in, I want to tell the praise and worship team, thank you so much for your dedication and how y'all bless me all the time and the people that do the sound and stuff like that. I just want to say thank you so much for what y'all do. All right. Let's take the bread, the cracker, which represents the body of Jesus. And if we would, just break it as Jesus' body was broken for us. And we're just going to take a second. Just close your eyes for a second. Just think about what he did and what he went through. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves me. And he did this so that we could walk in freedom, that we could walk in victory. We thank you and we praise you, God, for what you're doing as we take this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. He also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we thank you right now. Jesus, we just bless you. We thank you that your blood was shed for us so that we could spend an eternal life with you. We thank you, and we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Thank you so much for thanks everybody that helped. So y'all know, I just got this many pages. No, we'll speed through them pretty quick, I promise you. Here's some things I want to just share with you. Believe it or not, it's about praise and worship. And Ben referenced the scripture that I'm going to use. And he said that God inhabits the praises of his people. And I'm going to give it from a different perspective a little bit. But he had no idea this was what I was going to talk about today. So that's just God moving. And I just want to go ahead and say a few things. Number one is that thank you for letting me be up here. Hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great New Year. And I'm going to talk a little bit about praise and worship, a lot about praise and worship probably, and a little bit about unity and how that ties in, and just go from there. I hope, how many of you were in the service, how many Sundays ago was it, when Joe Corey was here and his wife? So about three or four Sundays. How late? I wasn't here. And I'm fixing to tell you why I wasn't here, but it doesn't matter. I should have been here. Is how late was he here? Do y'all know? Is he? Yeah, about 2 o'clock. You know what, guys? I'm gonna tell you something. My wife came home. I was sick because I missed that service. You know why? Because I believe that God wants to show up that way every Sunday. Every Sunday. Not just that Sunday. Not that we... Man, it's great that they come in here. And he was willing. That's part of it right there. He was willing to stay as long as it took to pray for somebody. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you. I lie to y'all every once in a while, but I'm not... This time I'm going to be honest now. I don't know that I'd wait till 2 o'clock to pray for people. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'd like to think that I would. I'd like to think that if somebody asked me to pray for them and it took that long, that I would stay and do it. But I'm not telling you that I would. I can tell you one time I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and it was a revival. Now, I can't speak no Spanish, We've taken several classes, and the best thing I got out of Spanish was that I don't know English, so therefore I'm not going to be able to speak Spanish. You know, I just need to stick close to the interpreters, all I can tell you. So we were praying at the end of one of these nightly revivals, and my pastor, who could speak both, you know, he can speak English and Spanish, and anyway, he said, "Hey man, go over there and pray. Come down, and I want you to pray for some people." You know what? I sat there, this is no lie, I prayed for that guy for probably 45 minutes to an hour. He wouldn't let go of me. He couldn't understand a word I was saying. I'm being honest, he couldn't. But you know what, man? He felt the presence of God in that place, not because of me, but because God was there. And man, he didn't want to leave, and I wanted to leave, but after a while, I was going, "Heck, God, I'll stay here as long as you do." The lights got turned out on us. You know, but I stayed right there till that guy was willing to go. Now, I did that one time, so that doesn't mean I'd do it every time. But I was thankful. One reason, I was out of the country, and where was I going to go, just to be honest with you? You know, so don't, you know, before you think I would do all this stuff, I wasn't going anywhere. But man, it was so awesome, and it so touched me. I've not forgotten that guy to this day. You know, so I bring that up to you just to say that we ought to strive for that to be a way of doing business before God every Sunday. Is the way that Joe, Corey, and how that went on. 2 o'clock, man. Can you imagine? At 2 o'clock, man, I'm eating dessert by then. Usually, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. There's a time for all of it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying we shouldn't get out of here by 12 o'clock. I'm not saying that we should stay till 2 o'clock. I'm not saying, but what I'm saying is we ought to long to be in the presence of God. And if it's here to 2 o'clock, so be it. If it's here to 1 o'clock, so be it. If it's here to 12 o'clock, when the anointing lifts, it's time to go.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to tell you something else. And some of y'all know this. Some of you probably think I'm a visitor sometimes. Because in the last 8 months, I hadn't been here that often. I hadn't been with the youth on Wednesday nights that much. They think I'm somebody new that Steve and Lisa had come in and speak while they're on vacation or something, or out doing, you know, when they can't make it. But I've been sick more this year than I have in a long time. And I'm going to share with you just a little bit. That day was over Thanksgiving. And I had driven home from Alabama from my folks' house early that morning so my wife could bring my niece to that service. Well, I wasn't feeling good, so I didn't come. You know, that's just like the enemy, isn't it? Yeah. And I really missed a blessing. Fortunately for me, my wife came and I got to feel part of the blessing through her excitement and the presence of God that was all over her because of the encounter with God in the service that day. To give you an idea, I had bronchitis. It started over the Thanksgiving weekend. I had it for 2.5 weeks. Finally, after about a week and a half, I went to the doctor. And, probably should have went the first week. But I didn't, so I went. And they gave me a shot, and they gave me some antibiotics, a Z-Pack. And then about a week later, I started really feeling great. And a day after that week, I got really sick. And I went to the doctor, and I had the flu. And I'm going to tell you something. If you hadn't had the flu, I hadn't had it in so long, I forgot what it was like, which is a great thing. But I'm going to tell you something. I was sick. You know, and so it got to here. It got through last week, and Rick had already asked me to speak. And I said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And come Monday, you know, I was so bad, that I said, "Man, I'm going to text him. Or I'm going to call him and just tell him I can't do it." You know, and I don't know if any of y'all have ever had something inside of you that you're supposed to do that you know God's saying do. And you just, man, I couldn't pick up the phone. Every time I went to go to the phone, just to text him, you know what I mean? That's the great thing about texting. You can just, you know, go, whoosh, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you'd rather text somebody something than call them up and tell them. Yeah, I know. All right, that. So, every time I tried, I was in bed. You know, it was legitimate. But every time I went to that phone to try to text him or call him, I couldn't do it. And I sat there, and I just finally got to the point, I'm going, God, you know, I just want to be released from this. You know? Because I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm a nervous wreck when I come up here. You know, I'll talk to anybody one-on-one and talk you to your ears fall off. Some of you know that. But when I get up here in front of y'all, then it's like, I mean, sweat's pouring off of me. I got two shirts on right now so that it'll absorb the sweat. No, it ain't quite that bad. But and then I get here. I tell my wife I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it. And Pastor Ryan's here. I'm going, man, God, I could have just texted Pastor Rick and said, I can't do it. No, that didn't happen. But I want y'all to know something that I don't know about y'all, but this year, I need y'all to pray for me because I'm fixing to declare something from this, from right here, right now, is that I'm sick, number one, of being sick. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the enemy. Wrecking our marriages. I'm sick of the enemy causing people to be sick. I'm sick of the enemy having his way in our services sometimes. Amen. So I need y'all to pray for me because I promise you the very first place he's going to attack me is sick, me being sick. Now, moving forward, I need to ask the praise team. That's one thing, I praised them before they sit down so I could ease on into this. But I want to say this before I even say what I'm fixing to share with y'all. I want Ben and Karen and Jennifer and all of you on the praise team, Constance, I want you to say, I'm sorry. Okay? Y'all just remember, I said, I'm sorry, Karen. I might ought to move closer to that door. No, it ain't quite that bad. One of the Sundays, of course, most of you know, I sit over there most of the time, and I love the praise and worship, and I love, you know, as a matter of fact, that's how we started coming to this church. It was one of the things, we've been visiting churches for a while, and I asked the Lord, I said, God, when we came here to visit, if this is the church you want us to be at, let us be able to get into the praise and worship when we got there. And I'm going to tell you something. I know some of you have been here all your life, and I know some of you hadn't visited around to a lot of churches. I didn't know there were so many churches, did we? And not only that, when you start visiting around and stuff, and you know, you go in and you go, well, what about this? And then you go in and go, no, what about that? You know, I mean, after a while, you just got tired. We got tired of visiting. We walked in here. I'm going to tell you something, man. The praise and worship was so awesome. I walked out here going, this is where we're going to church. You know, I did. And so I say all that, and then I'm fixing to tell you this. So one Sunday I was sitting over there, and I was praising the Lord. And I could feel the presence of God. And I'm sitting there. I don't know how y'all feel sometimes, but man, sometimes when you just get lost in the presence of God, as you're lifting your hands, or you're just sitting there going, God, have your way, and you're just singing and praising Him, and He engulfs you with His presence, and then you're sitting there and you're just lost in it, and then all of a sudden the song changed. I ask for forgiveness, okay? I'm just being honest with you. I'm sharing my soul with you. The song changed, and when it changed, man, it's like, the best way I can describe it is, it was like, for me, this, you know, it wasn't for everybody else, it was for me, okay? And understand, I'm telling you something about me. I'm sharing something that happened to me, and if it applies to y'all, or anybody in here, so be it. Okay? It may not apply to anybody. But here I was sitting over there, and it's like you threw a spoke in the wheel. And I'm going, God, let them go back to the other song. You know? Or let them get off of this one. I'm going to tell you something. I played in a church, and the guy, he was a great praise and worship leader, and we have a great praise and worship leader. Please don't misunderstand me. One time, he switched songs, and I didn't know the song. And I was playing the drums. Let me just tell you how bad that was. Y'all know it now, some of you. But he changed songs, and I could not get the beat to save my life. Couldn't get it. You know what he done? He changed songs. I broke the flow of the Holy Spirit. So he said, I ain't staying on this song long. So sometimes, you know, that happens. But here's what God said to me. And I like to think of, bless you, I like to think of myself as someone that loves praise and worship. And I do, you know. But the Lord said to me, he goes, that don't matter if they change songs. I'm going, what? Now, at this point, now I don't even know what song you were doing. I don't know what happened after that. All I can tell you is I was being chastised. It's the best way I can put it. So, please understand, I am no expert on praise and worship. I'm the last person that really should be even saying anything about praise and worship, except for the fact that I love it. And except for the fact of what Ben said earlier, is God will inhabit the praises of His people. If you know that God will inhabit the praises of His people, why would you not praise Him?
Amen.
You know, why? You know, so I'm asking myself that. So here's what happened. God said, well, I said, well, God, He said, you need to worship me with a pure heart.
Yes.
I said, huh? Yeah, I know none of y'all would ever talk back to God. But I said, God, you're kidding me. I really thought I was a praise and worshiper. You know? And I said, God, you know, maybe I'm not worshiping you with a pure heart. You know, and really, you know, that was kind of, I mean, when you think about it, why would I even say that to God? Because evidently I wasn't, or God wouldn't have said something to me.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, would He say something to me like, you're not worshiping me with a pure heart? I mean, does God lie? No. How many of you know that God knows your heart?
Amen.
It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how it applies. You know something? I never connected that dot with praise and worship. I've taught on it. With the youth, we've done all kinds of things, me and Steve have, and about, you know, that God knows your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what your intent was when you do something. You may lie to me. You may lie to yourself. You may, you know, even believe whatever you're doing is right, but God knows your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you know something? When we are worshiping Him and praising Him, He knows your heart. And when you come in here with us, gosh, I'm really going to get in trouble here, but listen, what matters is the worship.
That's right.
What matters is your heart.
That's right.
And what you are doing. Well, you know, and you know who you're praising? The Creator.
Yes.
We're praising your daddy.
Yes.
We're asking Him to come down and be a part of this service. And you know what? All that matters to Him is the heart. That you know, that's all that matters to Him. He doesn't care if we do this song in this key. He doesn't care if we got a full-blown orchestra up here playing. He doesn't care if we're doing something a cappella. He doesn't care if we're using a CD. You know what He cares about? He cares about your heart and what your intent is when you come in here to praise and worship Him. But you want to know something? And here's why I'm going to get in trouble with some of you. Because I had to deal with myself with this. My cell phone's in here today, but usually it didn't. You know where I leave my cell phone when I walk in this place? In my vehicle. You know why? And some of you can't do that, and I understand that. But I don't want no texting. I don't want nobody calling me. Because you know why? Somebody could text me something that makes me mad before I walk in here. And guess what I'm going to be thinking about during praise and worship? It ain't going to be praising God.
Amen. Amen.
It's going to be what I'm going to do to that person or how I'm going to respond to that text when I get out of here.
Amen.
And I might have to slip out to the bathroom and go ahead and handle it then.
Amen.
So so that's the reason I do that. Because I don't want anything to hinder that. And that's just one area. You know what? I mean, you may say something to your wife before you come into the service. Or to your spouse. Let me say it that way. You know what I mean? And it just be enough to where you get in here and you're going, wait, God, get out there and we'll show her. Or maybe one of your kids acted up before you come in and you're going, oh. You know what I mean? So that's a distraction from you coming in here and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
I'm telling you that I wasn't going to share this. Spencer had spoken, and when he spoke probably, what, over Thanksgiving, before Thanksgiving, something like that, he talked about praise and worship. I'm going, hey, God, ching, we're good. But obviously, I'm not good because I'm talking to y'all about praise and worship. Listen, let me tell you something. You know what part of the problem is with us praise and worshiping? You know what the problem is? You can apply this to any part of your life. You know what the problem is? We're worried about how it's going to affect us. We're worried about what it's going to do for us. We're worried about us. I'm worried about me. You know, how's it going to affect me? Man, I hope we get through pretty soon because we're going to so-and-so to eat lunch. Or maybe we hadn't decided where we're going to eat lunch. We always go eat out on Sundays. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I wonder if we're going to go to Max's or we're going to eat Chinese, which I don't really like. But are we going to eat Mexican? Where are we going to go eat at? Can't go to Rockies. They closed. But anyway, I'm just saying I sit through that doing that. I know none of y'all have ever done that. Some of you cook at home. Or, you know, cook and put a pot roast on in the crock pot. And you're probably sitting there going, man, if he goes 5 more minutes, that thing's going to burn. I got to go. Honey, take care of it. I'm running on home and taking care of the roast. I mean, it's the truth. So, anything can distract us from offering up our pure heart of praise and worship. And guys, I'm fixing to read you something from Jack Hayford. I'm going to read from the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible. And compliments of Pastor Ryan and Amy. When we were up there, we went to a bookstore and I got it for $12.50. I've got my $12.50 out of it right now. But it's an awesome Bible. And Psalm 22:3 says what Ben talked about earlier is that God inhabits the praises of His people. This is the way it's written. It says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Now listen. Jack Hafer wrote this long thing about it, and you know what? I'm pretty much going to read it to you. And the reason I'm going to read it to you, it is so profound, it is so powerful that I do not want to mess it up. And trust me, I could do that. And maybe not, but I want you to get the full impact of what he said in that verse right there. He says, Psalms were the praise hymnal of the Holy Church, and as such are laden with principles fully applicable for New Testament living today. Do y'all realize that? That just wasn't for the Old Testament. That just wasn't for back then. It applies this very moment. Few principles are more essential to our understanding than this one. The presence of God's kingdom power is directly related to the practice of God's praise.
Amen.
I'm going to read it again. Is that okay? Few principles are more essential to our understanding than this one. The presence of God's kingdom power is directly related to the practice of God's praise. So what kind of heart should we have? Yeah, a pure heart when we come into praise Him, you know? Listen, I want to say this. Please, y'all forgive me because I'm telling you, there's some things I'm saying that I didn't You know, and I'm sure some of you won't take it that way, but I just want you to understand, I'm just telling what God led me to say. And if y'all don't believe that, that's fine. But if you got a problem with it, y'all go talk to God in a little while, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But he said, what's your title, Ben? Praise and worship leader? Yeah. For right now, that's what it's going to be, you and Karen. So listen, I want you to understand something. They are the praise and worship leader. This praise and worship team is not for our entertainment. However, they are really good. And they could be an entertainment for us. But you know what? Their title is praise and worship leader. So you know what needs to come behind that? Followers. That's exactly right. So if they're up there leading, who's that lead to follow? That's right. That would be us. And you know something? It doesn't mean that we're always going to like the song they're doing. It doesn't mean that we're going to know the song they're doing. It doesn't mean any of that. What it means is they're leading us to get in the presence of God.
That's right.
That's what they're leading us to do.
That's right.
They're not entertaining us.
To
get in the presence of God, they are leading us into the presence of God. And sometimes we just have the wrong mindset about it. You know I did. I used to wouldn't raise my hands. I know some of you don't believe that know me. But I wouldn't raise my hands. I went to a pastor said, raise your hands. I'm going, I showed him, I ain't raising my hands. I mean, I were hard not to raise my hands. It'd been easier to raise my hands. You know, but I sit there going, I ain't raising my hands. Who's that guy think he is? And then one day he taught on something about authority, and after all that, my whole mindset changed. And I think he said, raise his hands. I'm raising my hands just in case. I'm following the flow of authority. Jack Hayford went on to say, the verb enthroned indicates that whenever God's people exalt his name, he is ready to manifest his kingdom power in the way most appropriate to the situation.
Amen.
Listen, guys, you know what? He says right here, he says, he is ready.
Yes.
You know what that means? You know who he's waiting on?
Us.
He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to come to him with a pure heart and say, Jesus, God, you are the greatest thing in this world. Thank you that you are coming and that you are going to meet our situation, whatever it calls for, by coming down and being with us and your presence filling this way and people are being healed and people are being saved.
Yes. Amen.
You know why? Because we do one simple thing. That's to praise him for who he is.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah.
As his rule is invited to invade our setting. Guys, listen, his rule. Not our rule. Not what we think is right. But his rule. His will. He goes on to say, God awaits the prayerful and praise-filled worship of his people as an entry point for his kingdom to come, to enter, that his will be done in human circumstances. An entry point. Guys, listen, all we got to do is praise God. And guess what? He's going to show up. Isn't that why we're here? Why are we here? We come together corporately to praise our God, right? So if we praise him and he shows up, guess what's going to happen? Change is going to take place in this place.
That's right. Amen.
Now listen, I could come up here and give you all the word and do this and do that and mess up communion, mess up this or do that or do it right, do it according to the book. I could be the most eloquent speaker. I could be the best at this. And guess what? If God doesn't show up, it's all for nothing.
That's right.
You know how we start? When we walk through that door right there, we ought to lay down our distractions.
Amen.
You ought to brush it off. You ought to do this right here. You ought to do whatever it needs to do before you cross that threshold and leave it Whatever the distraction is going to be. And when you come in here and praise God with a pure heart. And I promise you, when the service is over, you'll leave out of here. And that distraction, you won't have to worry about picking it up because it probably won't be there.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Matthew 6, 9 and 10. You can write it down. You can look at it. I'm going to read it. It says, how to pray. Jesus was talking to his disciples about how to pray. And he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this is talking about. Jesus told us how to pray, but God is saying how to praise Him. You want God to show up? You want the kingdom of God to come down and His will be done? Praise Him.
That's right. That's right.
Praise Him with a pure heart.
Yes.
Don't let it be distracted. Don't let it be about you. Let it be about God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You know what the problem is? We want our will to be done. That's problem number one. Number two is, sometimes when God's will doesn't line up with our will, we think God missed us. I'm not serious. I do, man. I'm going, God, what's your problem here? Come on. You know what I mean? And then later on, I'm thanking Him, going, God, thank you so much that you didn't bless me what I thought was going to be a blessing, that you didn't bless me with it, and that you had your way. Listen, do you think, I told you earlier that I get nervous when I'm up here, and I told you that I'm up here because I wanted His will to be done. Let me just say that. Not because I can show off, because I'm telling you, I don't have nothing to show off about. I don't have anything to tell anybody here unless God is in it. And if God's not in it, y'all don't need to listen to me. That's all I got to say. But I'm up here because I wanted His will to be done. Not because I wanted to be up here. I'm just telling you that. He went on to say this. He said, we do not manipulate God, but align ourselves with the great kingdom truth. His is the power. Ours, listen to this, is the privilege. And responsibility. Did you know it's our responsibility to come in here and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords?
Yes.
It's our responsibility. Some of you are looking at me like, are you nuts? I am. But that's beside the point. No. It's our responsibility to welcome Him into our world. That's what we're doing. We come in here and lift up our hands, or we praise Him with a pure heart. We're saying, God. And you know what He said? He says, I'm ready.
Amen.
He's waiting on us.
Thank you, Lord.
And He says, I'll come down. I'll bring the kingdom of God, the power of God, down into the service.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He goes on to say that, to welcome Him into our world, our private, present world, or the circumstances of our society. Let me tell you something. There ain't a person in here right now that doesn't know somebody that needs to be saved, doesn't know somebody that needs a healing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody that has a mindset that needs to be broken.
Yes.
There's not a person in here. So you want that to change? You know what you need to do? I mean, the Bible is real simple. Ben said it. God inhabits the praises of His people. So, if it's that easy, and if you knew people were going to change by praising Him, why don't we come in here and praise Him? I'll tell you why. Because we all get caught up in different things. Things. Life. But the Bible says we need to worship Him with a pure heart. He's told me I needed to worship Him with a pure heart. I would venture to say that I'm not the only one. I'm fixing to bring it to a close. I was going to talk a little bit about unity and then go on, but it's getting close to 12 o'clock, so I'm not going to keep you long. And but I want you to understand one thing before we leave here today. I want you to understand, if we want to reach the community, if you want your family changed, we ought to come in here and praise Him. It's real simple. Simple. You know, whatever it is, I'm telling you, I challenge you to lay it down at that door when you come in here. I don't know how you're going to do it. It's not between me and you and God. It's between you and God. And I want you to come in here next Sunday as we start off the new year. Leave whatever it is out there when you come in here. And come in here, and when they lead us in praise and worship, let's follow them. And if we stay on praise and worship for 2 hours, so what? The presence of God is going to show up and people will be changed without us even opening our mouth.
Amen.
I probably get in the way sometimes from opening my mouth. God's probably going, huh, you need to be quiet. Let me just minister to him. You just hug him. You know? I am going to read this about unity. And we'll close. I want you to understand this scripture. And Jesus is talking or praying for all believers in John 17, 20 and 21. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but I also for those who believe in me through their word. He's talking about the disciples preaching the gospel or us preaching the gospel. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world... Listen to what I'm fixing to say. That the world may believe that you sent me. Unity is a powerful thing. But you want to know something? If we come in here and start the service off with pure heart of worship, guess what? Guess what we're in? Unity. And if we're in unity, we might not be able to agree on the color of the carpet. We might not be able to agree on how high the Christmas tree needs to be or how low or how fat or whatever. But you know what? If we come in here, each individual comes in here and worships God with a pure heart, guess what? We're in unity.
Amen.
And when we're in unity, God said that He would inhabit the praises of His people. And when He shows up, inhabits the praises of His people, guess what? The world will believe that you sent me. And when somebody comes in off the street, when your cousin or your brother or your sister or somebody that doesn't know Jesus comes in, they will believe because of the presence of God being in this place. Because we started off with praise and worship. He brought the kingdom down. They will believe that Jesus was sent by God.
Amen.
You know what that means? We're going to be touching the community.
Amen.
We're going to be preaching the good news.
Yes.
We're going to be doing the Great Commission.
Yes.
You know what? It all starts from praise and worship.
Amen.
Praise and worship. This is something in that Miss Sue, I was in one of her classes one day, one Sunday. And she was talking about the will of the Father. And that Jesus was in Gethsemane. And you know what I'm talking about, Miss Sue, don't you? And the one time I was able to go to an adult class, and please don't misunderstand me, we love doing the youth. So, but it worked out to where I could go to her class, and that's what she said. You know, that's been a year ago probably, hadn't it? Might have been last Christmas for all I know, but that kept hanging around in me. And at the end, he says, look, take this cup away from me. Take it away, but nevertheless, your will be done. Guys, he says that if he brings his kingdom down here, his will is being done. If we praise him, his will is being done. Look, his will is so much better than our will. And that just sticks with me that I need to start praying for his will to be done. And if it don't line up with my will, so be it. Let his will be done. But I'm going to close right here. If I can have some prayer people come up. Because I'm not going to close this service without this. Yes, thanks, Karen. I've probably been 5 minutes late before I said, hey, Karen, you mind coming up and playing? I have to have everything written down. If I don't, it might not get said. Can we have some people? Yeah, thank you. Anybody else that wants? Some of your prayer partners, come up here if you don't mind. Chelsea. I hate to signal you out, but... Mr. Steve, Lisa, come on up here. I'm going to challenge you today. We're going to make 3 altar calls, and I'm just going to tell you what they are, and then, you know, you come and do whatever you need to do. That'll be between you and the Lord and the people up here wanting to pray for you. And first off, if you don't know this Jesus we've talked about, this Jesus that we talked about in communion, and you want to know Him, please let one of these prayer partners share with you Jesus. Maybe you need to just rededicate your life in the same manner, and you need somebody to pray with you and be in agreement with you in that. Please come. If you need a healing, here's the second one. Or know someone who wants, you want to see healed, please come and let us pray for you. If you just want someone to be in agreement with you, that's the third call. Maybe you just, you know what, maybe you just want to come up here. You want Tommy just to pray, just be in agreement. Maybe he doesn't even pray for you. Maybe you pray. And we're just in agreement with you that your will, that God's will be done. There's the 3 calls. You can come up for any reason. But I want you, I'm praying that we start coming in here, start next Sunday. It's between you and God. It's not between me and you and God. I can tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave my distractions out there when I walk in this door. And I'm going to praise God for who He is. Because I want Him to come down and I want to see people be healed. You know what? I want to see Caroline healed. You know what I mean? And if we're in that atmosphere, if God shows up, then people are going to be healed. People's lives are going to be changed. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I probably shouldn't, but I am. I pray for Mr. Ronald all the time. Not every day, just every other day or so, you know. But now, I want him to be healed. I want Caroline to be healed. I'm sick of being sick, and I'm sick of others being attacked and getting sick as well. All we have to do is come corporately together and praise him with a pure heart. If you can stand, please stand. If you can, it's okay. I want you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to hit the reset button. And I want you to just think about God and worshiping Him with a pure heart. And doing what His will would be. Not what my will would be, or not what your will would be, but what His will would be. I'm going to tell you a song that's just dear to me. And we're not going to sing it, but I'm going to sing the first line. And then Karen and them are going to go on with what they're doing. And we're going to call you up to the altar. But there's a song that Jaron Davis does. And it's called In the Presence of Jehovah. And it goes, In the Presence of Jehovah. I'm sorry, I can't sing it well. But it goes, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. Praising y'all. Praising.